Well, as gasoline prices continue to go up, up, and up, some drivers are conserving gas by going slower and slower and slower. In just a moment, we're going to be talking about the possibility of a remarkable new way to push our gasoline and extend our cars. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Floating format tonight, so our program here with these two remarkable guests will go 2 hours, and then I'll have open lines in the last hour tonight. Ari Cohen has had an interest in mechanics and has been working on cars since he was 14 years old. Ari is currently the director of tech support for Water for Gas. Now, this happens to be a do-it-yourself, affordable, simple technology converting water into hydrogen to be used as a supplement to gasoline or diesel fuel in order to boost performance and increase your miles per gallon. This company's grown from a little apartment to a full-scale business, reaching tens of thousands and teaching them how to convert their cars to hydrogen on demand. Here's Ari Cohen, first of all. Hi, Ari. How are you?
Hi, George. Very good to be on the show. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Looking forward to this.
Pretty much summed it all up, so thanks for having me on the show, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, really. Fred Gutierrez travels around doing installs. He's installed over 100 systems on all makes and models of cars, including trucks. He's with us, too. Hey, Fred, how are you?
Great. How you doing this evening?
Good. I'm looking forward to this. Let's start a little bit with you, Ari. Tell me about this technology. Exactly what is it?
Okay. Well, George, the technology is actually most commonly known as hydrogen on demand. And essentially what we're doing is we're using a technology that's been around for a long time called electrolysis. Where you use a small electrical current, and that electrical current goes through water, and essentially it splits the water molecule into its component parts, which is hydrogen and oxygen. And by making the hydrogen in a form that's commonly known as Brown's gas, or HHO. In other words, the electrolysis will, well, without getting too technical, you use the hydrogen to supplement the fuel in your car, whether it's diesel or gasoline, it doesn't matter. And that will basically boost the car's performance, and you can get more out of each gallon of gas. So therefore, you can get essentially free energy.
Now, is this, Ari, is this fuel system working separately from gas or diesel or with it?
It would be a supplement, so it's with the gasoline or diesel, and it's not limited to gasoline or diesel. We've had many people that have used it on natural gas, on propane, biodiesel, you name it. So any internal combustion engine, hydrogen, if used properly, can boost the car's performance and just get better mileage out of the engine that whatever car you're driving is, it's designed to run on gasoline, but lo and behold, you can use this extra little technology to help you out.
Do you have to have a large water tank, attached to your car or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. Our system, and just to kind of back up a little step here, I don't want to personally take credit for the technology. Like I said before, the technology has been around for almost maybe even more than 100 years. The first patent was found in 1918, and it was from an anonymous person. But the technology of electrolysis and using hydrogen is actually it's very simple, and it doesn't have to replace the gas. You don't have to store a lot of water in your car because you're producing a very little amount of hydrogen. And the funny thing, the interesting thing about HHO or Brown's gas is that it contains three times the energy as the equivalent amount of gasoline. So a little bit goes a long way.
Now, I thought I saw something like this on an old One Step Beyond, except that was a guy who invented a pill that he dropped into a tank of water,
yeah,
and it turned it into fuel, and he somehow disappeared. Are you ever worried, Ari, that you and your staff, something could happen because you're going against the big boys here?
The thought does cross my mind. I mean, there have been other guys along, I'm sure men and women both, but inventors and I don't want to call ourselves revolutionaries, but definitely optimists. you know, who have ventured into the alternate fuel sources. But the thing is, George, is that there, what we do isn't necessarily new or unique, and so many other people have tried this before, and there are stories of people like, you know, Stan Myers or something like that, who mysteriously died while eating a sandwich one day and never to be heard of again. And he was the gentleman who invented the special carburetor that could get 100 miles per gallon. So the thought does cross my mind, but it's funny because I talk to so many people every day, and I get that question a lot. And honestly, the answer is we've had zero interference with any, you know, men in black or anything like that. And
well, that's because you're not big enough yet.
Knock on wood, exactly. Yeah. We're not big enough yet. So I mean, I'm not ruling that out as a possibility, but really the mission of our company and the reason that we have it set up the way we have it set up, George, is that we want to get the word of mouth out to as many people as fast as possible before something like that can happen. And nowadays with the internet, with radio, with the way our distribution system works, it's basically an unstoppable force.
Fred, you do a lot of the installs. How simple is this, or how difficult?
Well, first thing I'd like to say is we've done about 500, not 100. That was the first.
So it's growing. It's changing already.
Yeah, actually, what started was something simple a few weeks ago, actually a few months ago, about 6 months ago, and Water for Fuel was instrumental in this, Water for Gas. We started developing off their platform a system that would be usable, and one of the things we were seeing was that there was nobody out there that was really competent or comfortable, would probably be a better word, of doing the installation. So we went out and started trying to tackle it. And how easy is it? It's kind of like when you look at it when you're done doing an installation in a car, it looks easy. And then when you open up the next hood of the next vehicle, then you're back where you started. And it's just a matter of gaining confidence and understanding some of the basic systems like the electrical systems, the vacuum systems, the carburation systems, things like that. But it's they get easier, I'll tell you, as you do them.
Fred, why is it a supplement system? Why can't we just go full hydrogen with some kind of a system like this?
Well, as a matter of fact, with the way the cars are set up today with the ECUs and the electronics and the carburation systems, you can't really go full hydrogen. They're not designed to do that. It's like trying to take put a jet engine on a bicycle and think that you can really travel faster. It's, you know, there's a lot of the dynamics of how the equipment's going to function with that when it's on there that doesn't make it feasible. So the same kind of applies with the carburation systems and the cars we have today. They are not designed. You actually have to redesign the entire carburation system and how the system works so you can run 100% on hydrogen. And it's been done, although the people who have done it have been stopped or disappeared or decided not to talk anymore. Their plans were no longer made available, or their offices and things were ransacked.
Or they get bought out, too, don't they?
Or they get bought out and get quiet. And I think that it's not just being bought out and being quiet. I think there's a strong arm tactic involved with that so that, you know, hey, we want you to shut up, but we're going to go ahead and give you a few bucks so you do it.
Well, with this system, is there like a switch you flick, or what happens?
Well, it's actually, you know, as Ari said, it's an on-demand system. And the systems that we've been developing are a little different so that they're going to truly be on demand. The key on system is kind of the more common mechanics term for what it is that when you put your key in the on position, you're hooked up in the electrical system so that your system knows to turn on and the current starts going through it and starts generating and producing the split elements of the hydrogen and oxygen from the water gas.
Okay, and now take us technically through this procedure. You know, I think of a gasoline engine. You've got the carburetor or the fuel injector, and then, you know, you've got your pistons going up and down, and the spark plugs are doing its thing. How does this add to it then?
Well, in kind of a simplified fashion, what ends up happening is the ionization process takes place through the electrolysis, It basically, the ionization actually allows positive and negative electrical particles to actually bond, create a stronger magnetic pull to the hydrogen and oxygen, positive and negative, the oxygen being the negative and the hydrogen the positive. It pulls them and separates them, and it keeps them in an ionized state. Because it happens so fast through the vacuum lines, the gases are drawn into the intake, into the cars, into the ignition, or into the intakes of the vehicles. What happens from there is the oxygen actually is looking for something that has a stronger positive pull, which is available in the fuel. And so the oxygen kind of bonds to the fuel molecules and increases and helps with the octane level. The hydrogen actually now still separate as it goes into the piston is still separate, but the hydrogen has what's called a high sonic flash point, and it's actually the igniting gas. And what it does, it burns so hot, so fast, that in a matter of milliseconds, it vaporizes everything in the piston. So just as some technical info, the gasoline normally burns at 460 degrees Fahrenheit, and hydrogen burns at 1160, give or take.
Okay.
So gas burns slower, and that's why about 30 to 50% of it comes out your exhaust pipe unburned. And hydrogen helps basically burn everything.
I see. Okay, so Ari, if I'm getting 20 miles to the gallon now with gasoline,
right,
what does this do for me?
It's a good question. Unfortunately, it's kind of a loaded question. You know, it really depends on the vehicle. There are so many different vehicles out there nowadays, George, and it really does vary. And the funny thing about that, too, and I will answer your question, but I kind of have to preface it, is that there are various levels, and I think Frank will back me up on this too. By the way, Frank, it's good to meet you. I've never actually spoken with you before, so I just want to let everyone know that I actually don't know Frank, and it's cool that he's out there installing the systems that we teach people how to make all day.
Oh, you guys are this big, you don't even know each other yet, huh?
Yeah, there you go, right? So
but we're on the same team.
Yeah, we are, definitely. But back to what I was saying is, the core of the water for gas hydrogen on-demand system is what we call the HHO generator, or also known as the electrolyzer. So one of those units made out of household, not household, but things that you can buy basically at the hardware store,
mm-hmm,
and at the auto parts store, it's basically a one-quart jar, and you can make it out of anything. We've been using just simple mason jars to hold the water in. So if you can imagine, you have 1 quart of water being stored under your hood.
Okay.
Right? Now, that 1 quart of water is producing approximately, I don't know how to measure it, but however much amount of hydrogen is being produced by that one jar, on a typical, let's say, four-cylinder engine, you'd probably see, you know, give or take, a 20% to maybe 50% increase in fuel economy with that one jar. That's what I've seen, and from the people that I've walked through or the systems I've personally installed. Now, that varies, of course, depending on, like Frank was talking about, you know, Fred, on the newer cars, you're going to have the electronic fuel injection.
Right.
And believe it or not, and I think you might even back me up on this, that the newer vehicles are they have these ECUs. It's called onboard diagnostic. They have these computers that basically govern every function of the engine.
Yeah.
They're a lot more complicated than what they used to be.
Yeah. It seems like every, you know, few years they reprogram and they have a new technology that comes out, or an updated technology, just like your software on your home PC.
Sure.
And the EPA wants to have it where they can control pretty much all the emissions and everything. And nowadays it's very hard to work on these newer cars and be able to tweak them without having interference from the computer. So if I were to go install one simple electrolyzer on, like, let's say a 2008 Honda Accord, you might see an immediate increase and it might go right back down to your original mileage, because that onboard computer will actually kick in and say, wait a minute, not
and
so
compensate
fast.
For it.
It will compensate.
Right?
So in other words, right, your car might even register a lean mixture because it's now the emissions coming out of the exhaust are cleaner than they were before. But the car's been programmed at the factory to have dirty emissions.
Now, for older cars that don't have computers, not a problem.
Not a problem. There was, I mean, I talked to people all day long that have, you know, carbureted vehicles or even fuel-injected vehicles prior to the mid-90s when they started implementing
computers.
The second version of this computer. And you get, you know, on some of these cars, you get an immediate 100% increase in fuel economy, 50%. It really does vary.
Well, you know, with the price of gasoline hovering at $4 a gallon, I mean, that could be a significant savings for some people.
Right. And if you're talking about on a larger application, for example, the gentleman who's spearheading the diesel, you know, like full-size, you know, big rig trucks and whatnot.
Right.
His name
is
Carter Blankenship, and he was the one who spearheaded, you know, why don't I take this to the truckers? So we started implementing that, and he started off with I forgot what kind of truck it was, but it had like a big cat motor, you know, one of these huge, you know, 10-liter engines or 8-liter engines or whatever it was. And he actually wound up going from somewhere around 5.5 miles per gallon, which is not very good even for a big truck, to about 7 or so. And you go, well, that doesn't seem that much of an increase. But when you look at the pocketbook at the end of the week, he was saving between $300 and $400 a week on diesel fuel.
Well, that adds up. It really does. I want to get your take, Ari, and you, Fred, on just what's happening now to the price of oil and gasoline. I mean, oil today hit $124 a barrel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a believer that this planet makes oil itself. It's abiotic. That's not the question. What is happening? Why is it up so high?
Oh, man.
You just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, you know.
I know it. Let's look at these worms.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, it's kind of like if you go back to the oil embargo, you know, in the early 1970s, 1973.
Yep.
We had apparently whatever there was fighting in the Middle East. They didn't want the U.S. to take their oil anymore. We didn't agree with some of the foreign policies, blah, blah, blah. I don't know specifically why today. I mean, a lot of people want to blame it on Bush. Other people want to blame, you know, whatever. To me, it all boils down to follow the buck. Someone's making money off of it.
Huge money.
Absolutely. Huge money. And, I mean, there's some documentaries out there that I recommend and some books that people read. And in our books, by the way, let me just tell you real quickly what our company really does, because Fred does the installations. But what we do at Water for Gas is we want to educate people. And so what we do is we sell the online books that teach you about this technology. And in the books, they recommend, you know, go read this, go read that, and start opening your mind. One of the things that I recommend is there's a documentary that I watched not too long ago, and it's called Who Killed the Electric Car?
Oh, yeah.
And really good documentary. And since you brought up the question about oil prices, I mean, and I think Fred mentioned this earlier, is like there was proof that Exxon bought out the plans for that electric car from GM. And so obviously someone is making money off of, you know, our ignorance in terms of the consumer. In terms of what drives up the oil prices, I really couldn't say.
Do you think today, right now, if we wanted a fully electric car or a fully hydrogen car, we could do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. Not even a question.
It's been done. It's been done many times.
Yeah.
There's
one out there in France. Isn't there one in France that is running on compressed air?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That technology's been available for almost 60 years.
Yeah, BMW has a fully hydrogen car. They've had it for almost 30 years. A full hydrogen car, BMW has it. The only problem is that, like Frank was saying, or Fred was saying, the technology is so advanced and it's so expensive. Because you're talking about hydrogen burns like so hot, right? To have a car that runs 100% on hydrogen, you have to have all the metals, the alloys, the compression, and besides that, you're storing vast amounts.
Well, you're right. It might have to be a ceramic car. We're going to come right back. I've got some more questions for both of you. In the next hour, I'll keep you two for questions before we float into our floating format for open lines in the last hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with two guests, Ari Cohen, Fred Gutierrez. Fred, how do you get around these computers then on some of these later models? What happens?
Well, there's basically a couple things that you can do. There's basically the way it works is that the as Ari was stating is that they become a little more sensitive to what the fuel temperature, actually what the temperature is of the exhaust, what the fuel mixture ratio is. They like to keep it 14:1 to 14.9:1 air to fuel mixture ratio. The way you get around that is you actually can hook up an extension. They look like a spark plug extender. It's kind of like an O2 blocker. It helps reduce the temperature of the oxygen sensor, and it says, okay, hey, we're running a little cooler. We're fine. We don't have to run as rich. They have things that some cars have. It's called a maximum absolute pressure sensor, the MAP sensor, which you can hook a signal dampener on there, which I know Ari, they refer to it as the MAP sensor enhancer, which works great on especially what our experience has been is if you're it's a couple of dials inside your car with some resistors and a little box and a little control there that allows you to switch from one setting to another to let your car run as lean as it can. You can't really beat the computer, though, I have to say that. That computer is, if you try to beat the computer, you shut the car down. It just won't operate.
Okay. And I also know in Missouri and California, we've got mandated emissions. Will this allow the car to continue to pass its emissions inspections?
That's an interesting question, because the like in California, for example, you know, they have the most stringent emissions tests in the country, and what ends up happening is that they have a ceiling on how much emissions or unburned fuel your car can produce, and then but they have a floor also that means that if your car produces less emissions than what their level is for that particular vehicle, then they don't pass you because they assume there's something wrong with the car.
Yeah.
Based on the car, you can actually either disconnect the unit or in some states, and what we'd like to see happen is if you have a professional installation done on your vehicle with a professional system, that the state will allow you to say, okay, well, you actually have done this. You can your car's been professionally
It's almost like it's certified, right?
Yeah, it's certified, and we're training installers. Because what we were going to do is run this network marketing style, since we own a company that does that, so we can actually get the brush fire out there and get people involved. And the money that's not going to go to the oil companies for gasoline can go back into the hands of people's families.
Sure.
And so that's what we're doing with that, so they actually can get full install systems and everything like that.
Ari, what about dealerships? Let's say the engine's under warranty, will they open up the hood, look at this, and say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, you've altered your engine, we're not going to take care of your warranty? Or has there ever been a problem with that yet?
Let me put it this way: we've never, in over 20,000 books and readers that we have, I've never had that become a problem. And basically, what would happen on a brand new car, and really, there aren't too many people with brand new cars driving around with these on them, but the people that are. Reportedly what happens is they just take it off when they go to the dealership. I mean, it takes 10 minutes to take it off.
It's that simple. Okay.
It's like, you know, Fred was saying earlier, it's a couple vacuum hoses and a wire.
Okay, so it's not like it's a permanent attachment to the engine.
No, and you don't have to alter the car. In other words, you don't have to drill any holes in your car or take anything out. It's a very, very simple installation.
It's a supplemental system, I guess, wouldn't you say, Ari?
Yeah, it's supplemental.
The easiest way to refer to it. Yeah. So it actually completely can be removed and reinstalled or reinstalled in a different vehicle. We've had people do that.
Is there any way, Ari, that, in the future that you'll cut deals with the automobile industry and get these put on these engines for new cars when they're coming right out of the showroom?
I would love to see that, George, but... I mean, the likelihood of that happening, it's almost unbelievable that Chrysler, Ford, and Chevy, and all these big companies, GM, Honda, I'm going to have any more pull on them than ExxonMobil. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how much the oil companies are in their pocket.
You know what? I think the automobile industry now, at least the U.S. industry, might be a little more open to ideas than they were a few years ago.
I don't know. I mean, let me put it this way. I remember, and I'll just tell you a quick story if that's okay with you.
Sure.
I remember back in, gosh, it was
over 10 years ago, must have been 13, 14 years ago, I went to the L.A. Auto Show. And this is where they reveal all the new cars for the upcoming year. And, you know,
and futuristic cars.
Futuristic cars. And one of the cars that they, I think it was 1995, and one of the cars that they were showing, it was a Dodge Stratus, and it was a concept car. And now a Dodge Stratus is like a four-door family car. This one, of course, was more futuristic looking, and it had a 250 horsepower gas engine, and then it had 250 horsepower electric motors. So in total, it was 350 horsepower. They gave the specs on the car. It did 0 to 60 in under 6 seconds, which is up there with, you know, Porsche and Mustang and Corvette. And it got something like 80 miles per gallon. And they revealed this car in the mid-90s, and they had tested it, and it was, like, revolutionary. And this was before hybrids started really hitting the market. Disappeared. Never heard of it again. Now we're coming out with a Chevy Tahoe that gets 22 miles per gallon, and that's a hybrid. You know, whoop-de-doo. You know, I could get 22 miles per gallon on my 68 Chevy pickup truck.
A car that would come out today at 80 miles a gallon would sell like hotcakes.
And the technology's there. That's what I'm saying. But marketing and advertising is so good that it makes you think that it can't be done. But people were getting, you know, 40 miles per gallon in the 70s.
Yeah, well, anything that's high-tech like that, they refer to it as a concept car, and that's how they keep it out of mass production.
Right.
They just whet our appetite and say, well, this can happen, this could occur, but what they do is they actually table it because, like you said, George, the big oil companies. You know, wouldn't you like to have a list of the board of directors on the car manufacturing's, the list of who the board of directors are for each car manufacturer? And who their major stockholders are.
Well, you know,
might find out they're oil company people.
Something's got to change eventually because people just can't continue to keep paying this over and over again.
Right.
You know, we see what's happening with the housing market and, you know, the gasoline prices are crazy. I mean, in Missouri, I just saw $3.99. They kept it right under $4, so it wouldn't have that shock value to you. In California, where I'm going back in a couple days, I'm sure it's well over $4 in some places.
Definitely.
I mean, it's just crazy. People can't keep doing this. It's, you know, restaurants are hurting because people aren't going out as much. Stores are hurting.
You know who else it's hurting is, I mean, just if you think of how widespread this is really becoming, I talk to a lot of truckers. Right, and a lot of truckers are contracted, you know, self-employed, and they have their little fleet or they have their own little truck, and they get jobs through brokers, right? So I'm a broker. I say, hey, you know, George, I want you to drive this load from here to there, and I'll pay you X dollars to do it, and you have to jack up your prices to pay to put food on your table because the diesel is becoming so expensive.
Yeah, that cuts right into your profits.
Check this out. I heard from a guy who said, this guy is a trucker, and he has his company has over 500 trucks, and he has this big company down in Texas. He said that it's got so bad now that he's literally having people that the brokers won't give him the business anymore because they would rather give that business to the dishonest people who are dealing with credit card fraud and using people's credit cards to pay for their diesel on the road so that they can drive down and undercut the next guy.
Jeez.
I mean, it's like, what's happening? I mean, this is...
When does it end?
When does it end, yeah. And the thing that the way I look at it is this. It's real simple. Let's stop putting so much energy and thought, not that you shouldn't think about it because we absolutely should, but let's stop complaining and talking about things that we cannot control and start fixing things that we can control, like our habits. And the thing about the water for gas technology is it's something that anybody can do, you know, and we're not trying to make it complicated or esoteric. It's like any one of us can go out there in our garage and do it ourselves, or if we don't feel that we have the, you know, the mechanical
the expertise, to
we
do
go
it,
call
sure.
Fred or one of his guys to do it for us.
Fred, you go all over the country, or you have people that do this?
Yeah, we're actually training people all over the country. Like, we're over in Hawaii now, where gas is wonderfully $4.09 per gallon over in Kona side.
Jeez.
And And it's spreading like a wildfire. What's so neat is about the Ari's book, you're talking about 20,000 readers. I'm one of those readers. I've probably read it more than anybody.
What's the name of your book, Ari?
I'm sorry. There's actually two books, and you can get both of them on our website. We want to keep them online, and the reason being is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just send them in the mail and this and that? This is although it's an old technology, it's really it's growing, and we're getting more and more information, and we're updating the books constantly. So, but the name of the books, the first one is called Modify Your Car to Save Gas Using Water, and it's an online book, and you're part of our research line when you buy the book. So as we develop more research and as we develop a better system and we add more to it, we added a few more chapters in there about the multi-cell units and the diesel engines. That first book talks about the background of the hydrogen on-demand technology, how our system works, where to get the parts, how to build it, how to install it. The second book is called How to Save Tons of Fuel with Your Hydrogen On-Demand System, and it covers a multitude of different gas-saving techniques and additives and ways you can tune your engine and just driving techniques and how you can actually tweak the system with different applications. It also goes into very vivid detail about these electric enhancers that Frank was talking about on newer cars and how to use those, and we're adding to them. So
what's a kit cost these days? To install it, buy it, and put it in.
Well, let's say if you were to build it yourself, or are you talking about having it professionally installed?
Okay, so you can build it yourself from the book?
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's always preferable. You know, I'm Jewish. I have a Jewish background, so I like to be stingy as possible.
You said that.
Yeah, I can get away with saying that, but. Seriously, if you were to go to the hardware store and buy all this stuff, you could build one of these systems for less than $100, easy. If you were to get every component of what we call like the full system, which is like the HHO generator, there's like a preheater that you can use to preheat the fuel, and that helps atomize it to make it burn more efficiently, and all the various components of the full system, you're looking at maximum, I would say, $200.
All right, and so at the price of gasoline right now, let's assume somebody's got an older car paid for. He's paying $4 a gallon. Chances are the fact that he didn't get a new car, he's probably on a tighter budget than most people.
Right.
If he goes ahead and he spends a couple $100, at the price of gasoline right now, he's going to pay that off pretty darn fast, isn't he?
Yeah, well, like me, for example, I don't drive real long distances, but I spend close to $1,000 a month on gas. And $1,000 a month on gas, that's just driving around L.A. If I increased my fuel consumption by 20%, or I decreased it by 20%, I should say, that's $200 a month in my
pocket.
Right
there, yeah. Right,
you know,
there.
Go stick that in, you know, a mutual fund or your kid's college plan.
Well, and if prices go down, and they're not going to go down that much, but if it dropped down to $3, wow, we're saving money. And that's, by the way, what they're doing. They're going to drop it down to $3, and we're going to think we've been saved.
How cheap is it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same thing with the hybrid I was telling you about. 22 miles per gallon from a Chevy Tahoe, and that's great mileage now.
No.
You know, yeah.
So if you had one of these, though, so you're at 30 generally, if you can get one of these units and put it in. Do you get a tax refund because of this?
You can. And we actually, part of the online training package is we give 7 free downloads. One of them is a whole book on how to use your hydrogen on-demand system to write taxes off at the end of the year. The government does give you a tax break for having a hybrid car.
Right.
I think it would be kind of fun just to have one, to put it in.
It's kind of like a science project. I mean, the way I look at it is, my dad told me about this technology when I was a kid. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this, George, is when I was growing up, my dad was one of these guys that was always telling stories and was always, if he knew about your show back then, he probably would have been, on every night on the phone, you know, blabbing away. But he was always telling me about, you know, the inside, you know, skinny of the government this and the political that. And one of the things he told me about was this concept called electrolysis. And he told me exactly what we teach people in our books. And I was like, you know, that's pretty cool. And, you know, I was like 10 years old, so what am I going to do about it? I didn't even drive a car. Well, he passed away, and literally one day I'm driving my girlfriend to a job interview. And I happened to pull up to where Water for Gas first started, which was at Ozzy's apartment out in the San Fernando Valley.
Uh-huh.
And she goes upstairs to interview with the president of the company, June, for an admin position. And there's Ozzy standing with about maybe 15 other people all bent over the hood of a car. And whenever I see a group of people congregating around a car, I'm stuck to it like a magnet. I love cars. So I ran over there and I'm like, hey guys, what's going on? You need a jump start? You know?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Right. You know, can I help? And it was, I looked down and I almost like my heart skipped a beat because I looked down under the hood of this car and there was the system that my dad had told me about when I was a kid. Never been done before, to my knowledge. And Ozzy was, there was guys videotaping it. And it turns out that every week, since he started this movement, basically, he's put together quite a following, and he actually has live demonstrations on Saturdays at a very big park out there in the valley where people can come and bring their converted cars. And we were there last week, and there was hundreds of people right across from this big car show. And it's really taken on a life of its own.
Well, I've told my producer, Tom, that I'd like him to try this because I want him to be the honest guy. And not that you two aren't, but I want someone that I know and trust explicitly to have him test this and come back and tell me what happened. And I think you're prepared to let him do that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll do anything we can to back you guys up. I mean,
okay. Yeah, you guys are doing an awesome thing here by letting people know about the technology. Even though it's an old technology, it's finally a usable technology where people finally have, they're in a position where they have to make a decision. Do we pay for the high price of gas or do we do something about it?
Well, somebody's got to step forward. Somebody in the media has got to, you know, stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. And if I can't beat them at the pump, well, maybe we can get them in a different way. And there's, you know, there's other alternatives too out there. And we'll be doing more and more programs on this. I'm trying to find the compressed air people right now. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I hope they're still out there. But, you know, we're going to keep doing more and more of this. Now, does this also, by the mere fact that it's supplementing fuel, does it in theory save fuel so you're not using as much gasoline?
Yeah, it does. It actually tells the computer, based on the way the computer is set up on, except for like a couple of the newer cars, you got to do a little more tweaking. It's actually telling them, yeah, we're fine, so cut back. Don't make it run as rich because your car is running a little cooler. It's doing some other things that actually tell the computer to lean the fuel out. And so you actually are consuming less.
Got anything going on in New Mexico? Richard Hoagland just sent me a special message, and he says, I want to try one out here. Well, he's our science advisor.
He
gets you in touch with him.
Well, I think we were just on a radio show last night in New Mexico, believe it or
okay.
not.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that, too. We'll put Richard to the test and let him test that out. Richard, of course, drives a 1902 Model T.
Nice.
It'll work great.
All right. We're going to have phone calls with you two next hour. We'll talk about energy. We'll talk about alternative systems. It's your turn with our two special guests. We'll be back. We're with Ari Cohen, Fred Gutierrez. Fred, is there any maintenance involved in this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're like, you know, anything with a car that requires some maintenance, but it's relatively simple. What you do, the type of systems we have, they're actually stainless steel canisters, and you just pop your hood, you open them up, you got a little control unit inside your car that tells when your system needs serviced. That's one of the new things we added. You open up your hood, you disconnect a couple wires, take the vacuum hose off, pop it out, unscrew the top, empty it out, rinse it out, put in some more distilled water and some baking soda, close it up, and hook it back up. Takes about 3 to 5 minutes to service a system, and you're back and running.
And you're interesting that you just brought something up. Distilled water is what you put in the little jar?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to use distilled water because if you use any other type of water, you've got minerals in there that could form deposits inside the engine and cause problems in the engine down the road. and we want as clean and pure as a system that you can possibly have to help clean out the fluorocarbons and the other carbons that are already building up in your car, and that's why it runs so clean after a while.
What happens if you run out of water and you don't know it? Do you do any harm to the engine?
Absolutely not, because then you're running as you were before.
Okay, and how often do you have to fill up the jar?
Well, if you're using the jar system, look at it this way, is that how often do you have to service your system is based on a couple of factors. Number one is how big of the vacuum draw you have, the volume of air that's being drawn into the engine based on the size of the engine. Number two is how much catalyst you use inside the container in the electrolyzer. And if you use a specified amount, which isn't very much, and because of the amount of conversion that takes place in the systems that we've been using, the stainless steel, not just the jar, but the stainless steel, you use a quarter teaspoon for every 18 ounces, and it produces about 900 cubic feet of hydrogen, which will last you, with those ratios, right around 400 to 600 miles. And if you use a bigger system, like use 32 ounces, the quart jars or a quart system, or anything bigger than that, it works commensurately based on the same ratios of solution.
Okay, let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, Darren Cleveland, you can ask your question to Ari or Fred. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, you guys don't seem to know what the mess that they're filling means. What is,
I couldn't hear you, Darren. Go ahead, one more time. Darren? Well, I don't know.
I guess he didn't know what it meant either.
And they got him. I didn't hear what he said. Did you?
He said something about it didn't sound like we knew what the map sensor did. I'll tell you exactly what the map sensor does. We just don't want to get super technical on the phone. I mean, obviously, if I told you everything that was in the books, then you'd
no, I understand.
But I mean, essentially, there's something called the map sensor, right? Maximum absolute pressure, and it measures the pressure.
Oh, the max sensor.
MAP, M-A-P.
M-A-P. Okay.
It's just short for maximum absolute pressure, MAP.
Okay.
And essentially what that unit does, it's not on every car. See, what you have is, on electronic fuel-injected cars, you have sensors that measure how much air is coming into the engine, and then you have sensors measuring how much exhaust is coming out. Right, and those two signals have to somehow correlate with one another, right? So the MAP sensor, what that does is some cars have a MAP sensor, which measures the pressure inside of the manifold, and it'll send a signal to the computer that says, based on how much air I'm getting, I need this much gas, right? Other cars have another type of system called a mass air flow. Like a lot of Fords have that one. It measures the velocity of the air coming into the engine.
Right.
So it's just, you don't have to be a mechanic to understand all this stuff. But the enhancer Fred was talking about, all you're doing is you're using a variable resistor.
I'm telling you, Ari, your company's too big.
And never too big. Don't say that.
All right.
Anyway, all you're doing is you're tweaking that signal to the computer. It's kind of like, I like to use the analogy of taking a diet pill. You know, when you take a diet pill, all you're essentially doing is you're telling your brain, I'm not hungry, right? You haven't actually eaten more food. You're just telling, you're altering.
You're tricking it.
Exactly. Very sneaky.
Okay, let's go to our first time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes.
I like your show, George.
Thank you, sir.
I got a question. I live in a cold climate area. And if you're in the wintertime and you go pouring water into a jar, I mean, would it freeze? And how would that affect the system?
Good question. Very simply, it would freeze. And so what you'd do in that case is you could use something in the place of water, most commonly windshield washer fluid.
Okay. Because it breaks down the same.
Yeah, it breaks down the same and it doesn't freeze. And if it started to freeze a little bit or if you had a combination of washer fluid and water, you'd be surprised when you turn on that electrolyzer, those wires heat up whatever's inside of that jar enough where it won't freeze.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's
you'll be fine after a few minutes of running.
One of the other question, real quickie.
Sure.
I live in Indiana. Do you guys install those here in Indiana?
Yes, we have people out in Indianapolis that actually do installations.
And they travel around?
Yeah, they're mobile. we do things like we come right to the customers. That way they don't have to worry about, you know, when it's going to be, when are they going to have time to drop their car off and things like that. So we're pretty mobile.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank
What's
you.
The rough cost of an install, Fred?
Full install with the electronics is $495.
That's with everything?
That's with everything that we install on there with the control unit, your electrolyzer, and any other electronics you need inside the engine, like if you need a map sensor, control unit, or enhancer, or anything like that. So you get a full system.
Now, you had also mentioned on the question before if you needed the jar. So if you don't have the jar, what do you have?
Well, we actually have a stainless steel canister that we use.
I
and,
see.
And
okay.
We started out as just a regular thermos because of the surface area of the internal part of the thermos for the stainless steel canister. It actually creates more hydrogen in a shorter period of time.
I think the stainless steel canister would look a little better than a mason jar in your engine anyway, wouldn't it?
Well, it's sexy, but I mean,
if you're in
the
aesthetics, it's the same.
The functionality is that they both produce hydrogen. They both produce the results.
Yeah.
It doesn't make moonshine at the same time, does it?
We haven't got that
That's
figured out
show,
yet, George. But give us a little time.
That's your next invention.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and also the other way to look at it is that I love the fact that Fred has a more advanced or a more, professional system. But a lot of people just don't want to spend the money.
Right,
you know,
they can do something simple.
You know, like, what can I do for $50? I literally have $50. How can I make my car save gas? And, you know, a mason jar, some stuff at the hardware store, a couple little, you know, wires and a fuse at AutoZone or something, and you're
good to go. And you're ready to go, huh?
Yeah, and that's the way to do it, you know, and to give people at least the option, you know, because there are some companies out there, even that advertise on our website, that have some very fancy stuff. And I think that's great and all, but some people can't afford it, and they should have the option to go the cheaper route.
Absolutely. Let's go east of the Rockies. Adam, St. Louis, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, guys. I'm a truck driver, and there's been a system that we've had available for several years like this. But what it does is it just uses the hydrogen. It spits out the excess oxygen. I guess the explanation I got was for the new stricter EPA emissions regulations, using the oxygen produces too much NOx gas. So they spit out the oxygen and just use the hydrogen. It's about $3,500 for the turnkey system. But it's been available for several years. And my fuel budget this year is going to be about $95,000. So if I can
save
10%, that's going to pay for that three times over in just one year.
Adam, what was your budget last year, the year before?
Last year was about, I don't have a top. It was between 60, a little over 60,000.
And you drove almost the same amount of miles?
Yeah, now this is projected. I mean, it's only beginning of May. So, I mean, that's just my estimate is $95,000 in fuel this year.
Well, but I'm sure you're probably pretty close.
I hope I'm dead wrong, and I hope it's a lot cheaper. But
me too. Now, that's based on what, today's prices?
Actually, that was based on $3.50 a gallon, so I might have to redo it. But when I said you guys use both the oxygen and the hydrogen that comes out of the water together, you pump it both in there?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you're going to get the benefit of both.
We let nature run its course.
There you go. Well put.
Yeah, the thing is I'm not like an engineer or a physicist or anything like that or a chemist. But if you measure the emissions at the tailpipe, it's been many, many, many times reported that the emissions are much cleaner. And there was one guy who had a Cadillac, and the Cadillac was burning so dirty that it actually deteriorated the catalytic converters. So instead of replacing them, he just cut them off. And then he used the hydrogen on demand system on the same car, and it burned so much cleaner after that he took it in to get a smog check, and they said, "Wow, your new catalytic converter is doing such a great job. Your car is getting so clean." And he had no catalytic converter.
Oh, I should point out too that we did a 1985 300SD Mercedes diesel that passed at the top end of tolerable emissions for the gasoline test in California. And the guy at the smog station couldn't believe it, so we unhooked the system and let him run it without it so he could prove that we didn't mess with anything with right. the exhaust pipe or anything in the engine. That's how effective these systems are.
And so, I bet it did it fail after that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
With flying colors.
Yeah. That is. That's remarkable. West of the Rockies, Nick in Washington. You're up with us. Hi, Nick.
Good evening, George.
Yes, sir.
I have a short comment for you and then a question for your guest, if I may.
Sure. You...
First one has to do with the compressed air business. I had a friend who was building a sports car, building up a sports car back in 1968, and he didn't have the engine in yet. So I persuaded him to let me show him something. So I showed him that he could run it. Actually, we used an impact wrench, an air impact wrench.
All right, and it worked.
And hooked it up to the car with a, with an air tank. Now, this was, wasn't for keeps or anything. He wound up putting an engine in, of course. But I just, it, what started is I told him he could, this car could actually run with compressed air, and he didn't believe it. So I said, well, you don't have an engine, let me prove it. And he did, and it worked. And, of course, it works.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, thanks, Nick.
So I've had a lot of experience with that. Anyway, my question for your guest is for either one of them. If the hydrogen burns at a much higher temperature than the gasoline in the combustion chamber, then what are the chances of burning the valves?
Good question. Well, because it has what's called a high sonic flash point, it burns so quickly, and you're mixed with the other fuels, you aren't burning, you know, the entire piston temperature is not going up commensurately. What it's doing is it's actually cooling down after that initial few milliseconds of the burn because of the amount of fuel. And I think Ari will validate this, that what actually ends up happening because of the efficiency in the way that things burn in the engine, the oxygen and hydrogen, with the fuel, your car's overall temperature drops around 6 to 11 degrees, depending upon the car.
Yeah. Not only that, but keep in mind that you are also getting a very small amount of water vapor going into the engine.
Yes.
And the water vapor alone causes the engine to run cooler. And there's a whole section of our book that talks about the benefits of water vapor. Back in World War II, what happened was the fighter pilots were you know, dogfighting and whatnot, and they flew down close to the surface of the ocean. And when they found out that when they flew closer to the ocean, their engines ran smoother and they had more power. And what was happening was the vapor from the ocean was actually going into the engine and essentially boosting it.
Yeah.
So that's an extra benefit of the hydrogen on-demand system, is you get a little bit of water vapor. It's not enough to cause any damage to the engine. It actually cleans the engine out. It's kind of like when you're driving on a cool, you know, overcast night or morning, you feel that your car has a little bit more pep. That's just because of the moisture in the air.
So this kind of makes you want to get out and get an old car and just play with it.
Yeah.
Let's go to you, Tony, in Texas. Take it away. Hi, Tony.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Beautiful show. I'd like to find out, how can I bring this application to my area? And also, if you guys gave out your website, I missed it.
Yeah, we actually haven't done that yet. Well, I'll tell you right now. I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Tony.
Oh, Tony. Okay, cool. Tony. The first thing is, I'll give out our website, and I'm going to use one of our affiliate links because I told them I would do that. It's hhowater4gas.com.
And that's the number 4.
Yeah, right? hhowater, the number 4, gas.com. Now,
gas.com?
Yeah, like gas.
Yeah.
And we've got it linked up under their names, Tony. At coasttocoastam.com.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
Now, to answer your question about how do you become active, we have an affiliate program with our company. It's not multi-level. It's a straightforward, you sign up as an affiliate. It's totally free. And when you read the books, you then have access to our readers-only page. And the readers-only page covers a lot of different things. One of them is you can become an installer or manufacturer. Some people just want to make these things and sell them on our free marketplace. We have.
And you let them do that?
Oh, absolutely. We want to empower people. We're not greedy. We want to just give people this technology and say, run with it.
Well, what a great little business for an entrepreneurial young person who, Fred, gets the training on installing and then manufactures these, maybe packages them in a nice way.
Yeah.
And he's got a little business going.
Absolutely.
And we have ours is goemt.net, and we actually come in and we train installers. We use a little more, like you said, a little more of a sexy system, a little more sophisticated in some of the things. But we're spreading across the country, and ours, we have it set up. If you want to be involved on the network marketing level, you can do that. Ours is a 30-buck hit, so it's $30 to get involved. But we're spreading across the country, doing things where people actually in different cities where they have the presentations that they do with Water for Gas, which I've seen and been involved with, and you can show the things that you've done. And the whole goal is this, is to get more and more people involved on a grassroots level to expose the concept, the idea, the systems, and allow people to have a benefit so they can start thinking about other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Was it the price of gasoline that has got people interested now in alternative energy? Is that what's happening?
I think so. I think that people will take action in any way when their necessity level is high enough.
And it's high now.
And people are forced into a position where they have to take action, I mean, when it really comes down to that point, George, where it's like, do I feed my children this week or do I put gas in the tank so I can go to work? Do I pay my mortgage this month or do I fill up my gas tank? And it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And so people don't have a choice anymore. It's like, I can be skeptical and I can keep paying $4 a gallon, or I can, you know, maybe take the chip off my shoulder and say, hey, maybe there is hope. Maybe something can be done about it. And I think the most important aspect is the fact that we're giving people hope and we're raising their awareness level where they can do something effective and not just be the effect of what's going on around them.
Well, it's time to fight back. You know, enough is enough. We can't keep sitting down. You know, it's like being in a boxing match and we're against the ropes and the guy's beating the heck out of us.
Right.
I mean, you got to fight back eventually.
Yeah, you do.
And now we finally have a chance where we can, and we have something that's viable for everybody from, you know, try and construct one yourself from scratch with a few things to going to things that are more sophisticated, even to the more incredibly elaborate systems for $3,500, which I can't imagine, because you can almost build a complete carburation system that runs on hydrogen doing that.
All right, we're going to come right back. We're going to take final phone calls for you two before I start open lines next hour. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We've got Ari Cohen, Fred Gutierrez, and you. We'll take final calls here. First of all, Ari, before we go back to final calls here, have we covered everything here with this technology, or is there anything else we need to talk about?
It's funny because we've pretty much covered, I think, what we need to cover on an initial call like this. And really, it's like, you know, for those people, it might not be for everybody. You know, some people might get a little overwhelmed, or some people, but honestly, if you go onto our website, we give a free intro course, and it's a 7-day course, an email course, totally free, no obligation. We'll send you intro lessons that just kind of give you an overview of the technology. And from there, you can feel free to go ahead and purchase our online training program. If you do have any questions, our phone number is at the bottom of our website. You can call us. You know, we're real people. I think we're the only website out there that actually has these online training books where you can actually contact people. So if you guys have any more questions that we don't cover here on the call tonight, definitely feel free to email us at our tech support or, you know, call us up at the office. And we'll probably be flooded like crazy, but we'll do our best.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Rich in Texas. You're up there with us, Rich. Hey, Rich, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Anyway, I'm not too good talking on the phone. Anyway, I'm a truck driver, and I that other guy, he said something about that other system that they've been marketing for a while. It's a hydrogen system, but I mean, they're leasing that, and it's like some outrageous amount of money. You say that it uses the hydrogen and the oxygen, and
yeah.
He said something about the oxygen causing higher NOx. Do you know anything about that?
Actually, what they're trying to say is that the NOx, which actually is the nitrogen that's somehow produced, is actually bonding with the oxygen to produce a more noxious gas. The research that I've seen and the emissions tests we've seen, I don't think validate that. So I will just say from my personal experience and the things we've seen with the emissions test, I wouldn't stand by that comment.
Yeah, let me put it this way. If, you know, only results count.
There you go.
So, you know, all the theories and all the all the hypothesis and all that type of stuff doesn't mean jack if it doesn't work in the real world. And when you have so many people reporting lower emissions, you know,
it's
even if we don't know specifically the chemical reaction that's happening with each molecule and why there's less NOx, who cares? It's better. I mean, test it. If we're wrong, then, you know, then you can get your money back. I mean,
one of the things that we do with our emissions tests, actually there's three things that you notice when you have a system installed. The first thing we notice is that we tell people you're going to notice that your engine has better performance, it's quieter, it's cooler, and it has a little more pep. The second thing you're going to notice is the emissions. And we have people, and I don't recommend people doing this normally, but with the systems installed, go in there and let the car run for a few minutes and go stick your nose by the gas pipe, and you will be the exhaust pipe, and you will be astounded.
Boy, it better work.
Well, I'm telling you, I was a clinical psychologist for a long time, and I've snipped more exhaust pipes in the last 2.5 months than I would have ever imagined in my lifetime, and I so far have no brain damage that I'm aware of. I'm just kidding.
You probably wouldn't be aware of it though if you did.
Yeah, but it's I'm telling you, the emissions tests we've had done, we're having more and more cars get smog tests to validate what we're saying. So, like Ari said, that the results walk, and the other people can talk.
There you go.
Let's go to our wild card line. We've got David out there in Louisiana. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning to you too, sir.
I am calling because I have recently read an article. It was in the September 2005 of Popular Mechanics, and they were testing six of the most popular. They didn't really call them devices or supplements. They really referred to them as gadgets or contraptions. One of the most popular being probably the one you're familiar with as well, a tornado device.
Yes.
And they also did a device that's very similar to what your guests are discussing. It's called the AquaTune system. And it's very similar to the operation and the dynamics of what your guests are speaking at. But I'd like to give you just a little summary of what their conclusion was on all these devices. And these are not coming from me. These are independent tests with totally objective reasoning, okay? They stated that you can't ignore the law of physics, and that your engine already burns over 99% of the fuel that you pay for. They said that they said less than 1% is squandered as partially burned hydrocarbons and carbon monoxide before the exhaust hits the catalytic converter for the last laundering. Even if one of these miracle gadgets could make the combustion process 100% complete, the improvement in mileage resulting would be 1%. Therefore, any device that claims quantum-level increases needs to be examined with considerable skepticism. My question to your guest is, have their claims been substantiated or independently documented or verified through just totally objective third parties who can support their validations and claims?
We'd be happy to do it. What we can do as far as saying the customers that we have, we haven't had everybody run through some kind of cattle gate to have somebody check everything that they've said, but there's enough information and documentation that supports conclusively that there is a dramatic difference. And even though these people say this, somebody says something like that, the 1% quantum physics, they try to make it sound real sophisticated. In layman's terms, facts are facts.
Right.
When you can document that you had reduced emissions, when you can document that your mileage clearly has gone up, and without the system it goes back down, and you put it back on, it goes back up, that's sufficient enough. And I don't think most of the people out there are going to subscribe to somebody else who says be skeptical to the point of not acting.
Right.
And that's the whole point of the book that they do at Water for Gas. It's the whole point of what we do, is that there is something that can be done that is valid on an individual basis and can be documented on a greater scale by third party to validate that we can do something, we are doing something, and it's real.
Yeah. Ozzy actually talks a little bit about in one of the books about that
popular. And explain who Ozzy is again.
I'm sorry, Ozzy Freedom, that's his real name.
Ozzy Freedom?
Ozzy Freedom.
Yeah.
He's actually from Tel Aviv. He changed his name when he came to the States because it's very hard to pronounce. But he's the one that wrote the book, and he's essentially my boss, good friend of mine. But he talks about, you know, the
boss. It's always good to have the boss as a good friend, by
the way. Well, he's not really a boss. I mean, he's the founder of the company. We're basically business partners. But anyway, I think the earlier version of Popular Mechanics, there's an article in there that talks about how the world was flat. They might want to read that one, too.
Very good.
Maybe you can, you know, document that, too. I mean, honestly, it's like, you know, there's always articles, there's always skeptics, and there's people trying to disprove any revolutionary anything. And frankly, I mean, you can read all the articles you want. I'm going to go get better gas mileage. So
there you go. Thank you.
People,
simply put.
Yeah, I mean.
The proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're here for. Is it?
Or in the hydrogen.
Yeah.
In the hydrogen pudding.
First-time caller line, Dan in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Daniel.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I was just wondering if there is a maximum amount of hydrogen that a car can utilize.
Absolutely. There's a usable threshold, and if you put in more hydrogen than what is what we call a functional use, then what ends up happening is that we've had people that try to produce so much hydrogen, they said, oh, we need more hydrogen. Maybe that'll make it run better, run faster. What ends up happening is you start causing some problems with how the engine will perform. Not that it's bad, because you're only getting a 1% anyway in terms of the amount of fuel, in terms of gasoline and fuel that you're using with the air mixture. It's only like 1% to 2%, but it's sufficient enough to make a difference. And then you reach a point of, we don't want to call it diminishing returns, but you reach that threshold of functionally used hydrogen, and that's... then you don't see any results beyond that without changing the carburation system completely.
Right, I see. So running like a dual electrolyzer system wouldn't make any difference?
Well,
so would...
once you reach that threshold, if it takes two electrolyzers for you to reach that, then that's what it is.
Yeah. By the way, it's going to be more than... I mean, if you're using, like, let's say if you were using the one-quart jars, we have many people that are using what we call, like, the coined word is a six-pack design, and it's six electrolyzers linked up in a series, and then all six of those are feeding the engine. And even with six of them, because you're only running on a 12-volt system from your car, you're producing enough to – it's still supplemental. You're not going to reach, from what I can see, anywhere near that threshold. I don't think I've ever seen a system that produced enough HHO – where it was actually starving the engine or producing too much of the hydrogen gas. I don't know, Fred, if you've seen anything like that.
Well, we've actually, in the way these systems are designed, it's really difficult to do that. But we actually had an electrolyzer developed and done that wouldn't even really fit in the car that produced so much hydrogen that it did cause a few problems with the engine.
Hmm.
But it wasn't really with the engine, but it's just with how well the car would run.
Right.
It would actually was running hot.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go next to a few more callers before the clock gets us. Gentlemen, east of the Rockies, Steve in Maryland. Go ahead with your question, Steve.
Hi, is this, I guess I'm on with you now, George?
If you are Steve, it's you.
That's me.
Okay.
I've got a Volkswagen Beetle that I have just I'm going to be taking in later on today to get a dual tank put on so that I can run my diesel on waste vegetable oil. And I've got tons of questions, but I know we've got lack of time. But I was just wondering, is this something that I could even use on my waste vegetable oil and make it a tri-brid instead of just a hybrid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? It would work. Okay.
Right. It would work.
As long as it's an internal combustion engine. The cool thing about internal combustion engines, the hydrogen is not very picky about what type of fuel you're burning. It doesn't care.
Yeah, I've been reading about this for probably about 3 or 4 months now, and I've probably been on at least two or three dozen different sites. Mm-hmm. I've been on several forums, and I've been kind of irritated at the, I guess, the skeptics that have been almost like they're in the back pocket of the big oil companies.
Well, yeah, it's okay to be skeptical. I mean, understand we're inundated with things that, you know, we really do want to believe in anything we see because we're optimistic as people. But there's so much garbage out there that, you know, skepticism is a good thing. But it doesn't mean that you don't go forward with not doing something. Do something and either validate or invalidate your skepticism. And I think this is one situation, and I can thank Ozzy and Ari and those people there and the customers we have that, you know, this is valid. It works. And it's it doesn't need to be by some big company validating us and saying, well, these results are real.
Right.
The customers know their cars. They know how they drive. They know their mileage. And they're the ones that can speak, and they're good enough for us.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, you know, our distribution system is word of mouth is the best advertising anyway. You know, because
yep.
if you're, you know, Steve, right?
Yeah, that's Steve.
If your best friend pulled up to you in a Beetle that looked just like yours and said, man, you're never going to believe what just happened. I just doubled my mileage. Check this out. You're probably going to be a lot more excited than if you saw a commercial from, you know, from a new VW Beetle that can, you know, get, you know, 40 miles per gallon. You'd be like, okay, what's next on?
So what happens if you put one of these on that India car, the Nano, that probably gets a lot anyways? My gosh. Then you're getting some real good fuel mileage, huh?
Yeah.
That would be some good research.
We're working on I was actually curious. Well, I'll ask Fred later. I had a question about installing one on a hybrid car.
Prius?
On a Prius.
Six Priuses.
Yeah. How did you wire it up? To something like the fuel pump relay or something that kicks in when the motor starts? Or?
Yeah, we actually, depending upon what their driving habits were, the Priuses are a little more complicated, but we kind of look at the drive time. You can hook it up to the fuel service relay, and so what happens is as soon as that thing shuts off, your engine shuts off on the gas and you're running on battery, then the hydrogen system will stop.
Nice. That's what I thought. Okay.
All right, let's go.
Actually, just one quick thing.
Go ahead. Sure.
With the on-demand system, as soon as the batteries go on, you actually can just hit the little button inside your car and it'll stop the hydrogen.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, let's go to West of the Rockies. Josh, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Great. Thanks, Josh.
I was watching the Tonight Show the other night. And Jay Leno mentioned that he has been given a hydrogen fuel cell car from General Motors to test.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed a picture of a Chevy car. I guess that's what he's testing. Now, if they are testing them now, how long would it be to let on the market?
Well, the fuel cell is different. The fuel cell is you literally have a tank of hydrogen in your car that holds, I believe it's compressed hydrogen, although
it's
I'm not
compressed
positive.
Hydrogen. Kind of
and
like propane.
Yeah, it's like a propane tank full of hydrogen gas, and it runs 100% on hydrogen, and that's all fine and good. But the last time I checked, there aren't too many hydrogen stations, and it's a very expensive fuel, and it's also kind of dangerous. You know?
And that's what they want, though. They want to keep us tied to the pump as much as possible, even when they go with hydrogen. And the direction we want to go is to make us more independent, not dependent, with
technology. And that's why they killed the electric car, because you could literally charge it in your garage while you're sleeping.
There you go.
And you don't have a hydrogen tank in your garage, I don't think.
How many people laughed at this kind of technology when it was first coming out?
Well, to speak to it from when it first came out, I don't know that there's anybody left alive that could say anything, because that was 70, 80 years ago. There might be a couple. Mm-hmm. But today, I think that, you know, for example, there's a one person referring to the Popular Science article from September 2005. There's people that may have been skeptical before. I think that's dissipating, though, with the price of gas and the personal economic situations that people are facing, that now it's like people are saying, well, we got to do something. We might as well start here. And this is a great place. Then we'll go to other places from here.
Okay, well, the clock has got us. Give us your website one more time, Ari Cohen.
Okay, let's go to HHO Water, the number 4, gas.com. That's HHOWATER, the number 4, GAS.com. We hope to hear from anyone who has questions and, you know, back you guys up.
All right, both of you are thanks. Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you.
Ours is goemt.net, and our 800 number is 888 694-2044. That's 888 MyH204Gas.
Remarkable technology. When we come right back, we'll have open lines for the final hour. This was the floating format. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.